This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
It's amazing the number of questions that President Trump has taken, over 1,000. Where Joe Biden has taken, it took like a 100. The results are amazing in terms of a president who wants to be accessible, and he's about to be more accessible to the American people because he's about to sign executive orders and let the press into the Oval Office again. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. It is our 5 o'clock happy hour brought to you by our friends at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. And I'm happy about the fact that we're going to be back there for some live shows. Now, the dates I gave last week were preliminary dates. It does not look like those are actually going to happen. I apologize, but we have to tweak them a little bit. So once they're official, I'll announce them for you. But we don't have any official dates yet for our 2025 live broadcast, other than to say we will be doing four. We're hoping that we'll have those dates very, very soon. Justin, thanks for sending this my way. Questions from the press taken in the first month of office by various presidents. Ready? Barack Obama, 161. Donald Trump in 2017, 199. Joe Biden, 141. First month in office. Donald Trump has already, at this point in time, taken 1,009 questions. 1,009 questions. That's amazing to me. Absolutely amazing. And CBS says Doge is going to get you eaten by bears. That's right. So we'll talk about that as well. Big 5 o'clock hour. I'm grateful that you're here. And a little bit later in the show today, we're going to talk to our buddy Daniel Turner about energy and the Keystone XL pipeline and energy rates in New Jersey. But first, I want to mention to you that the president announcing that the oil deal with Venezuela is dead. Good, excellent, good riddance, and goodbye. Venezuela's crude is dirtier than ours. Of course, Venezuela is run by a crazy dictator who does not recognize the free and fair elections that took place in that country. And the reversing the course on Venezuela and revoking Chevron's oil license appears to end Chevron's work in an oil-rich country and was triggered by what Trump said was a failure to accepted deportees. Now, you have to remember something. When Joe Biden enabled Venezuela to offer the world its crude and offer the United States its crude versus allowing drilling to occur in the United States of America, that was a stupid move because Nicolas Maduro is a dictator and the guy who actually beat him in the election had to flee to Spain because Maduro wants to kill him and imprison him. The move is a reversal by the Trump administration's month-long reapproachment with Maduro and appears to be a setback for Chevron, a U.S. oil company that former President Joe Biden granted an exception to American sanctions to pump in Venezuela in 2022. Trump didn't mention Chevron, but said he was canceling a November 26, 2022 license the same time the company got its concession. Quote, we are hereby reversing the concessions that crooked Joe Biden gave to Nicolas Maduro of Venezuela on the oil transaction agreement dated November 26, 2022. That is what the president posted on Truth Social a short time ago. And yes, he did call him crooked Joe Biden. It's amazing. Trump's announcement came nearly a month after senior White House envoy Richard Grenell met with Maduro in Caracas to strike a deal, which would restart deportation flights to the country. Maduro has long refused to accept deportees after almost 8 million Venezuelans left the country during his 12-year tenure because of economic contraction and political repression. And look, my heart goes out to these people. I'd want to escape Maduro, too. I get it. But the ones we're sending back now are criminals, and they are gang members. Trende Aragua is what we're talking about here. We're not talking about the people that left Venezuela seeking political asylum. We're talking about the bad hombres that we need to send back there because they're criminals, and we know exactly the difference. We know the distinction. In fact, the United States has a very, very welcoming heart for people seeking political asylum, and that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about take back the criminals, because that's who Tom Holman is trying to send back. And Venezuela said no. So we said, fine. You know what? I don't think we should be taking Venezuela's oil anyway. The hell with it. It's dirtier than United States oil is. That's number one. Number two, he's a dictator and he's nuts and he represses his own people. So you're just enabling that. You're empowering him. And we should be drilling in this country. We should be empowering that, and we should be doing all those things. And that's the way it should be. So, you know, I for one am happy with this move. I think it's a good move and excellent work there that's happening right there. So the first cabinet meeting today went on for over 90 minutes, and we heard from a lot of different cabinet officials today. We also heard from the president on a number of different things. I want to play this clip for you as well. This is Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick. Trump on the president rolled out something called a gold card, which would replace the EB-5 program, okay? This is the gold card, probably similar to the Amex gold card that some people have. I don't know. You get good concert tickets, I think, and maybe even dinner reservations. This might be different from that. This is cut number five.
So the EB-5 program, which has been around for many years, had investment of $1 million into projects in America. And those projects were often suspect, they didn't really work out, there wasn't any oversight of it. And so for $1 million investment, you got a visa and then you came into the country and ended up with a green card. So it was poorly overseen, poorly executed. Then you had our border open where millions of people came through. So the idea is we will have a proper business. We will modify the EB-5 agreement. Christy and I are working on it together. For $5 million, they'll get a license from the Department of Commerce. Then they'll make a proper investment on the EB-5, right? And we think Scott and I will design the EB-5 investment model, because Scott and I are the best people together to do that. So this is joint. This is exactly the Trump administration. We all work together. We work it out to be the best. And if we sell, just remember, 200,000, there's a line for EB-5 of 250,000 right now. 200,000 of these gold green cards is $1 trillion to pay down our debt. And that's why the president is doing it, because we are going to balance this budget and we are going to pay off the debt under President Trump.
Now, it'd be great if that happens that way. If it works out that way, that'd be amazing, right? I mean, that would be fantastic. We'd all love that if that's the case. The president said, I don't know how much money we're going to make on this, but we're going to try. Good. I'm happy about that as well. Look, the idea that you're going to get eaten by a bear because of Doge, which is literally what CBS rolled out in their news report on this, that you're going to get eaten by a bear. In fact, you know what? Let me send this to you so we can load this up, Matt, because this is amazing. We really don't need the video of this because, hang on, that's the wrong thing. That's, hang on, let me send this clip to you right now. As I do this, I'll tell you the big story of the hour is brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. So National Public Radio, which, of course, is a fraud funded by your taxpayer dollars, NPR, they ran a whole story about the National Park Service, how the National Park Service is already right now feeling the pinch of DOGE. And this is what NPR said in their headline. They said the following. They said, national parks already feel the effects of layoffs even before the busy season starts. Now, if you scroll down to the article, you're going to see there is a big red phone. They have a picture of this. It says emergency phone, use phone to call Ranger. Okay. And the idea, of course, is that, well, you go to a national park and you encounter a bear and it's not Yogi Bear, you might be dead because the bear may eat you. And this is essentially now where the media is going with this, because if a bear encounters you, and by the way, just so you know, for the record, you want to be with somebody who's not as fast as you, because that person will get eaten by the bear, not you. That's always the rule in life. But no, I've gone camping before. Up in North Jersey, there's a park up there called Stoke State Forest. I've been camping there many times. I remember one day, there's also High Point State Forest up there, too. I remember one morning, I hear a shotgun, like that. And the ranger says, park ranger, stay in your tent. And he shoots the bear with one of those rubber bullets, and the bear runs. And but the bear was on a picnic table. As soon as he heard that friggin' the bear knew he was going to get shot with a rubber bullet in the ass, and that bear took off. You know what I mean? But the reality is, park rangers, like cops, can't be everywhere at the same time. The National Park Service laid off 1,000 employees. How many of them were park rangers? How many of them ever saved someone's life from getting eaten by a bear is the question. But nevertheless, here's CBS. This is from our friends over at Newsbusters. Here's CBS letting you know that DOGE means you're going to get eaten by bears. Take a listen.
Let's say you just arrived in town and you want some information about the forest, maybe a good place to camp or trail to hike on, or maybe you're scared about bears. You come to a place like this, your local ranger station. But because of the recent firings, this one won't be open anytime soon.
What happens, though, if you're worried about bears? Well, you could do what a good camper does and get bear spray. Lock your food in your car, or make sure you have a bear bag so that the bear can't get the food. You also might want to know what to do by reading a book or looking at some manuals or something else like this. Or, you know what? Because of DOGE, just take it. Just get eaten by the bear. Sometimes you eat the bear, and sometimes the bear eats you. I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't know what to say. But isn't it funny how they always go to the craziest things? Between the paperwork, background checks, training regimens, and housing searches, experts worry many seasonal positions at parks won't get filled. Oh, well, that's a real problem here. I just heard on the news, CBS News, at local, KYW, that Philadelphia is looking for lifeguards. So if you can't get a job at a national park, I guess you can get a job as a lifeguard in Philly. I mean, this is so stupid. You know, this government, the bloat, the waste, all of it that's happening right now, they are really going to try to find the most extreme examples of this. Here is, I'm going to send you this, Matt, too, is a little montage put together of all of the media's stupidest objections to DOGE so far. Let's load up this video. I'll give you a minute to do that because it's really, really good. And it's exactly the kind of thing I want. From Google, bear attack safety rhyme. If it's brown, lay down. If it's black, fight back. If it's white, good night. Is that actually a real thing? That's a real safety rhyme?
That's the, So it is a real safety rhyme, obviously, but I just investigated it, and it is not sound advice, so actually don't listen to that. You'll die either way.
If it's brown, lay down and pretend like you're dead. Is that the idea?
Yeah.
If the bear is black, it's a black bear like they have up in North Jersey, fight back. Okay. Yeah. If it's white, good night. I thought all the polar bears were dead because they fell off that iceberg that Al Gore was talking about in his movie, aren't they? Then they all drowned?
Well, apparently that portion of the rhyme is accurate. If you encounter a polar bear, you're 1,000% cooked.
The polar bear population is bigger than ever, and they are nasty SOBs, those freaking polar bears. They're nasty. and there's more of them now than ever before, just so you know. So I'm just saying, you know, they're nasty SOBs. Black bears up in North Jersey, well, the people that live up there will tell you that a lot of the moves by His Royal Ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable, to deal with the bear population up in North Jersey, and of course Pennsylvania has black bears as well, are stupid, like banning bird feeders and other things like that. Use common sense. I don't know what to tell you. But if you go camping in a national park, the odds of you encountering a bear, like I've gone camping in Shenandoah. Me and my buddies in college used to go camping all the time. We go camping and, you know, we never encountered a bear. One time I saw a black bear on a trail up in North Jersey when I was hiking, and the thing ran by me. If you get trapped by a bear and it's by her cubs, she's gonna come at you. There's no time to call a ranger. I don't know what they think. Like, it's a big park. Do they think that there's a special button you push and a ranger instantly appears to fight that bear on your behalf? Is that what they think? Is that how it works?
So I have some new bear attack information. This is WebMD's response to that rhyme, which is apparently viral and people take it as fact. So if a bear is charging you, it's one of two things. It's either a bluffing charge, in which case you're all right, or it's an aggressive charge, in which case you're cooked. WebMD says there's basically no way to tell, so I don't have any advice to provide you. I think you probably just don't want to trigger an attack from a bear. You're not
willing. Or if you have your special magic ranger button and you push one, and then the ranger instantly shows up and he gives Yogi some jelly beans and you're good to go. Oh, boo-boo. I mean, like, what do they really think? Honestly. You could encounter a serial killer. See, I would have gone that route if I were CBS News. What if there's a serial killer loose in the national park? Huh? And there's no ranger there to stop this? Because that happens from time to time. There's serial killers in national parks. What about that? Or what if it's, what happens if crazy cannibals come to get you? Because they haven't been able to find food. What do you do then if crazy cannibals are coming to get you and there's no park ranger there to save you? I don't know, boo-boo. Sounds like maybe we should be able to protect ourselves when we go into the woods, know what we're up against. But you know, in all seriousness, what will save you in a national park? This is ironic. Starlink. Because they've enabled it now with Starlink technology for cell phones to be able to get links to satellites so that if you do fall off a cliff and break your leg and you're sitting there and you can't use your phone because there's no cell service in a national park, Starlink will be able to get you an SOS with certain phones now. And I saw T-Mobile's rolling that out too. Apple has a similar feature. That'll help. But, you know, by that point, it might be too late. You know who we should get on the case, Matt, is Hank Johnson. Hank Johnson could probably save us from black bears and brown bears and white bears, too. And white bears matter. I'm just saying, you know. So should we hear Hank Johnson? Should we take a listen to what his latest suggestion is regarding Donald Trump?
I think we should. He is my favorite congressman, after all.
He is, for a lot of different reasons. Now, Johnny Cook's theory is that Hank Johnson's just pulling our leg here, all right? Pulling our leg, and he's just joking around, and he's just using sarcasm. I don't know if I agree with Johnny on this point, but you be the judge of that. Here is Hank Johnson. Take a listen.
If a president willfully failed or refused to comply with a court ruling, they could be held in contempt of court, theoretically, but it would be up to the U.S. Marshals Service, which is a part of the Justice Department, to be the enforcement arm for the federal courts. Is that correct?
Your hypothetical would have to play itself out.
It would be the U.S. Marshals who fall under the Department of Justice who would have to carry out the contempt order. And so what would happen if the U.S. Marshals Service, under the command of the Justice Department at the direction of the president, refused to carry out a court order of contempt?
Wait a second. I got a better suggestion. What if we use the U.S. Marshals to go fight the bears in the national parks, since we don't have any rangers to fight the bears? What if we do that? Problem solved. If Trump's not going to go along with the U.S. Marshals, then at least put the Marshals to good work fighting bears. Duh. This is common sense. I'm here to provide common sense solutions for everybody, okay? That's what I'm trying to do, just to help you. And speaking of these federal judges who keep trying to stop President Donald Trump, there's more. There's a federal judge who just overturned Trump blocking Afghan refugees. There's a federal judge who trying to stop President Donald Trump when it comes to ending racial discrimination in colleges, even though the Supreme Court has already done that. There's federal judges every day now. This is something we talked about earlier with Jeffrey Tucker, turning around and trying to stop the president on something. But at no point during Joe Biden's term, when he ignored federal judges, did marshals ever take him into custody, just for the record. So it sounds like what Hank Johnson is suggesting here, where they go and they're, you know, maybe he's the voice we're looking for George Soros's new Joe Rogan. I mean, his voice is very engaging. Is it not, Hank Johnson? Give me a little more Hank Johnson there in that, from that clip. Go ahead. Let's hear it. Let's do it.
Refused to carry out a court order of contempt. What would then be the state of our democracy?
Again, I'm here on behalf of the Judicial Conference to talk about the shortage of judges that we have, and I would comment on those needs in particular.
But what happens if they go to arrest the president and then the president won't go into custody? That's a movie that I made years ago. You know, I created this scenario, this movie. And what happens is that the U.S. Marshals show up and Tommy Lee Jones gives a speech and he says, "I want every outhouse, chicken coop, White House search." And then the marshals go looking for the president. But it turns out the president didn't do it. It was a one-armed man. I already wrote the script for this. It's going to be a huge, huge hit, Hank Johnson. I need a good title for it. How about The Fugitive? Do you think that? I think that's a winner right there. That's going to be a good one. In reality, though, of course, the president is not going to be ordered under arrest by a federal judge holding him in contempt of court. It's never been done before. It would be asinine to do. And, you know what, let's go back to Hank Johnson talking about Guam. Can we talk about Hank Johnson, Guam overturning? Can we do that, please?
I do have that. I have Guam. I have helium equity. I have when he apologized for using a bad word and then used that word. We've got the tooth fairy.
Give me the apology for the bad word. That might be my favorite right there. The apology
this
for the bad
best
word.
Work.
Yeah.
Last night I used an analogy that some find offensive, and I certainly was not meaning to be offensive or use a derogatory term. You know, everybody knows what the N-word is. I had never heard of the M-word, Representative Shankowski, the M-word. But to my discovery, just within the last 12 hours or so, I have found that the use of the M-word
there you go,
is no longer socially acceptable. Now, the M-word refers to a group of people, the little people.
This is a very smart man here. Snow Bunny Gal says, Rich, you're going to get your listeners killed. If it's a black bear, put your hands in the air, make some noise, and walk back. If it's brown, cover your neck and lay on the ground. Carry a taser. They don't like the noise. That's how we get them out of our yard. Okay, good to know, Snow Bunny Gal. There you go. Carry a taser. I'm a big fan of bear spray. Now, Old Man Dudley says, where the polar bears live, there's neither ice or food. If you're not ice, you're food. That's fair. That's true as well. So I don't know, Hank Johnson. I'm trying to think. Well, let me hear Hank Johnson talk about the Tooth Fairy. Can we hear the Tooth Fairy, please?
Believe that the insurrection of January 6th was not an insurrection. It was just a tourist visit. And they want you to believe that the Tooth Fairy is woke and anti-Christian.
Really? Woke and anti-Christian? I've never heard anyone suggest the Tooth Fairy was some demonic monster who comes in and takes the teeth and what, uses them for human sacrifice. I've never really heard that before. Here's the media. This is a little clip of the media's stupidest objections to Doge so far, put together by our friends at Newsbusters. Take a listen.
He wants Musk to be more aggressive. So how far is too far?
PBS is having to deal with the purge of DEI offices and initiatives. The Sesame Street icon who played Maria for decades is here to share why she's so concerned.
Elon Musk has bragged about slashing and eliminating entire agencies like USAID.
USAID does really important democracy work.
We are starting to see the impacts of federal cuts on our nation's bustling national parks.
More pink slips for tens of thousands of federal employees.
That includes anyone who worked or works on climate, environmental justice, equity, DEIA.
Thousands of IRS workers from all over the country are also being let go at the height of tax season.
At the height of the tax season.
At the height of tax season. The height of tax season, which is right now.
The Department of Education could be next on the chopping block.
The Trump administration is cutting protections.
Pause it.
That
should
roughly.
Stop. Pause it. I have an idea. How about we take them from the height of tax season and put them at the height of mountains to fight bears? Huh? Because if that's really where the problem is, problem solved. Again, I'm trying to come up with solutions for America here, okay? Additionally, they all say height of tax season at the same time. Height of tax season, height of tax season, height of tax season. So none of these people are afraid of heights. I say let them fight the bears in the national parks, okay? All right, keep going.
Half a million Haitian migrants from deportation.
Blowing up the world's largest foreign aid mission.
Up to half of the Department of Housing and Urban Development, 20 immigration judges.
A vital global climate report.
Sesame Street in Iraq.
Even entire departments.
Do they understand the consequences, both economically and the direct impact of these jobs not getting done because they're cutting them?
What about the people that are there to help the island of Guam avoid capsizing, Matt DeSantis? What about the, see, I think but we might save Guam here. Think about this now. With all these cuts to Doge, less people on Guam, the island might have a fighting chance here. You know what I'm getting at, right?
There's only one man who I would consider an expert on Guam's potential capsizing. I think we should hear from him.
I agree with you. Let's hear from Representative Hank Johnson, the Joe Rogan of the left. Go ahead.
So 24 miles long, about 7 miles wide at the least widest place on the island, and about 12 miles wide on the widest part of the island. And I don't know how many square miles that is. Do you happen to know?
I don't have that figure with me, sir. I can certainly supply it to you.
There's
if you'd like.
Math.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, we just solved that problem too. Doge just saved Guam from capsizing because we're going to cut federal workers in Guam. See, we're saving everything. And the ones who are there can go fight the bears. I mean, we're going to have more people fighting bears than we are fighting illegal immigrants crossing the border. I'm just saying, before this is done, okay, the bears better watch their ass, all right? Am I right? Their butts, excuse me. I'm sorry, it's a kid's show. It's a family-friendly show. Bears better watch it, okay, before this is said and done. We're going to have more bureaucrats fighting bears in the national parks than anything else. Yogi, Boo-Boo, I'm coming for you. Yeah, that's right. You stole my lunchbox? I haven't forgotten it. Just saved Guam at the height of tax season, saved jobs, and saved you from a bear attack. You're welcome, America. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Listen, when it comes to your lawn, whether or not it has bears on it or not, you want it to be safer, you want it to be greener, and you want it to have less weeds. That's why you should use my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. That's right. That's what they do, and it's guaranteed. It's great. I'm very happy with the work of Natural Lawn of America. I've been using them for years. They're a local company, and they're family-owned. See, a lot of these lawn care companies out there, they just spray your lawn and it's just every lawn's treated the same. That's not how they do it. Natural Lawn of America's safer, more organic approach is better. It's healthier. And every year they seed your lawn for free. That overseeding makes such a difference in the health of your lawn. All you got to do is call them at 1-800-FREE-SEED and sign up right now. Because spring is basically here. I mean, 60 degrees today. We'll have a couple more cold days, but March is right around the corner. And then, boom, we're ready to go. So if you want that lush, thick lawn that is the envy of the neighborhood, and you want it to be safer for your kids, for the pets, then definitely call my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America, and take advantage of their free seeding every year. 1-800-FREE-SEED. Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass. Fewer weeds guaranteed.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Zeoli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, a premier full service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
All right, so we'll talk a little bit more in the 6 o'clock hour. With Daniel Turner about the Keystone XL pipeline. I'm not going to play America's Mother-in-Law for you, Elizabeth Warren. So you're welcome on your drive home tonight here on our on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. And welcome back, by the way. Big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. But one of the things that I'm very happy to see go away is the Consumer Financial Protection Board, the CFPB. Now, in the years, over the years, we've talked to our buddy Robert Bork Jr. about this, because the Consumer Financial Protection Board and actually the Department of Commerce has really been engaged in this. They have been trying every single way they could to destroy capitalism, free market capitalism. That's what they've been trying to do. And the nice thing about Doge is it enables us to defund these idiots in a big, big way. So Elizabeth Warren created something called the CFPB after the 2008 financial crisis. Okay. Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Sounds great, doesn't it? It's got a nice name to it. Hey, if it's got a nice name to it, it's got to be nice. Nice name. Must do nice things, right? Now, this was supposed to be, again, independent of politics. So we talked about this earlier in the show with Jeffrey Tucker of the Brownstone Institute. If you missed it, it'll be podcast for you. Please take a listen. Independent. I don't know what the hell that means. I don't know what independent means. I know that there's three branches of government. I know that under the judicial branch, judges are held accountable to the Supreme Court and ultimately to Congress. I know that Congress, that branch, they've got legislative staffers and people that work on the Hill, and they're all and Congress people can be removed. They can be censured, voted out by their constituents. And the executive branch of government, there's the executive, the president. But then there's over 400 independent boards and bureaus and blah, blah, blah. And I don't know who these people are accountable to. And that's the problem. It's the problem we've been talking about. It's a problem that DOGE needs to fix in a big way. So we go back to 2008, financial crisis happens, and then Elizabeth Warren comes along, like all panicked people do, and creates more government to try to deal with this. So the Bureau obtains its funding on demand from the Federal Reserve. They say Congress cannot use its power of the purse as a form of oversight over the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Okay. Democrats in Congress now are fuming that they can't stop the Trump administration's plans to overhaul the Bureau. They said Congress built the CFPB and no one other than Congress, not Donald Trump, not Elon Musk, no one can fire the financial cops, said America's mother-in-law in a protest that I'm not going to play for you because her voice was so high-pitched it would crack glass and make children and cats cry. So I'm just going to read it and not play the clip for you. You're welcome. As Wall Street Journal points out, well, no. By her own design, Congress can't force the Bureau, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, to spend money, including on employee salaries. Elizabeth Warren also says no other agency will protect consumers, but plenty of other regulators can do the same job better. States can enforce their own consumer laws. I know that that's shocking that states have them, but they do. States have consumer laws. In fact, I don't know if they still do this because I don't really watch a lot of the local news, but I used to love the segments where they would have somebody go out and confront like a local business ripping somebody off or something. You know what I mean? I always love that because I like the idea that you'd hold these people accountable. I think they still have those things. I don't know. But that's not what the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau does. No. They don't really go after people that are screwing over consumers. They really act as a way to stop capitalism. That's really what their job is. All right. Just like the very same people that exist in Washington to try to stop companies from merging. And Lina Khan, Lydia Khan, who's now, you know, out the door, thank God, at the FTC. Same exact thing. Their job is to get in the way of free markets and capitalism so that they can impose their socialist order. Their job is not to go after the mechanic who screwed you out of a lube job. And not in the way that you'd enjoy. So banking agencies also review consumer practices during exams and can ding banks for lapses. The Federal Reserve imposed a $1.95 trillion asset cap on Wells Fargo as punishment for alleged consumer abuses and compliance problems. Don't you realize something when you hear all these stories about there's a lot of redundancy in government, isn't there? Except in the national parks, where only rangers fight bears. And without the rangers, you will get eaten by a bear. Otherwise, there seems to be a lot of duplication of government and all these various agencies and boards and commissions. But the one thing they all have in common is none of them seem to be accountable to anybody. Really, it's amazing. The Biden Federal Trade Commission sued Walmart for allegedly insufficient fraud protections in its money transfers. Now, there were similarly dubious complaints against peer-to-peer payment apps that the FTC went after, saying that they didn't have enough protections. The goal here is to just get these companies to settle and pay the federal government a big check. And the government has all the time and all the lawyers, and they don't have to worry about getting customers and clients, so they just bust the chops of the private sector and going after Walmart and saying, well, you know, somebody got screwed out of a financial transaction because they were dumb enough to send money to somebody like I've done. I mean, just today, as a matter of fact, wiring that Nigerian banker for that luxury villa in Italy for only a dollar. But I had to pay him a $10,000 security deposit. So I totally understand. Absolutely. Can't wait to go. It's going to be great. Western Union for the win. the truth is that the Democratic heads of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau have put a higher priority on harassing businesses than protecting customers and consumers. And that should come as no surprise to anybody with a brain. In the last month, the Bureau fined Credit Bureau Equifax for, quote, failing to thoroughly investigate disputes. Block, Inc. was done for failing to provide effective customer service. The FTC sued Vanderbilt Mortgage and Finance for making mobile home loans to people who later didn't repay the firm. Huh? So wait, let me understand this now. We gave a loan to somebody to buy a mobile home. They didn't pay their mortgage on the mobile home, so the government comes after the lender? If I don't pay my bookie back, he breaks my legs. That's how that works. If the mortgage company doesn't get paid, it's a mobile home and the guy drives away, the government turns around and goes after the lender? Okay. Businesses have often agreed to pay small fines to settle, and that's exactly what the name of the game is. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, they want to avoid the litigation. Now, America's mother-in-law, Elizabeth Warren, and the media cite the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau's $20 billion in quote-unquote consumer relief over the last 13 years as proof that it's protecting consumers. It's actually proof that the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau can bully small businesses and startups that don't have large legal departments to fight back, or big companies that don't really have the patience to fight back and just want to write a check to make it get over with. And how much of that money do you actually see, by the way? A lot of these agencies use that money for what purpose? It's much like with civil asset forfeiture, to line their pockets. That's right. They come after you. They take your money. You've got to fight to get it back. You haven't done anything. You haven't been convicted of a crime. But you don't want to go through the hassle of the process. So they're like, all right, we'll keep 90%. We'll give you 10%. And you're like, fine. At least I get something back. It's kind of like that. And then they use it to buy new cars, shiny new whatever. Now, the president has nominated a person to run the agency that unfortunately won't probably be eliminated. But again, that would take an act of Congress to eliminate. The guy McKernan, who the president has nominated, served on the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation and as a former aide to Pennsylvania Pat Toomey. On the banking committee, he was part of Pat Toomey's council. He has pushed for easing regulation to boost banking competition while protecting consumers from actual fraud, which sounds like a reasonable goal, which, of course, why Democrats oppose him. But unfortunately, the Bureau itself needs to be completely eliminated. Jonathan McKernan, when he takes the helm of this, could at least lead to reforming it, which should be nice. But much like the Department of Education, to ultimately eradicate it, you're going to take an act of Congress. But when you think about your life on a day-to-day basis, what I would encourage you to do is pay attention to the people that are objecting the most about something, because that's where you know you're getting closer and closer to either a gigantic cover-up, corruption, waste, fraud, abuse, all the terms we hear kicking around, or something that they love to use to pad their projects. There's a lot of that the government does, too. The EPA does this all the time, too. They wind up going in, finding businesses, and they take that money, and they use that money for their own projects, too. And they like to report back and go, oh, what we actually collected this amount in fines, as if that's something to brag about. But of course, they believe it is, because their mission is to protect the world from climate change, you see. So by busting the chops of businesses, and who do you think pays all this? I'm not talking about businesses that do toxic waste dumps in the middle of the night in Jersey, like they also dump bodies. Of course, we're not talking about that. But when they're busting the chops of these businesses, who pays? You pay and I pay. The consumer pays. It's exactly right. And they know this, and that's why they keep doing it. They will, every business that gets assessed, fines by the federal government, finds a way to pass that along to the consumer. It's what happens all the time. Now, within DOGE, America's future depends on it, as Jeffrey Tucker pointed out earlier. And If you think about the notion of federal employees not responding to a simple question, what did you do last week? What did you do last week? Hey, what'd you do last week? Tell me about it. Tell me a little bit about what you did. See, a lot of what they're afraid of is they're afraid of acknowledging, hey, I busted the chops of some businesses. Because in the old administration, that stuff would fly. But in this administration, it doesn't fly. So if they write that email and they go, oh, here are five things I did. I went after this company, this company, this company, this guy, and that guy. This administration turns around and goes, yeah, you see, that's not what we like anymore. We want to find a way to eliminate that. We want to be a business-friendly administration, not a government that keeps trying to find ways to harass businesses and ultimately the consumer at the same time. See, if you can make it a more business-friendly climate in this country, you will find that companies will invest money, like Apple. We talked about this yesterday on the show. Apple has announced a $500 billion in the United States to build their AI server factory. What do we need for AI servers? We need massive amounts of energy. Where are some of the most cumbersome and burdensome regulations? Energy. But where are also some of the biggest fines levied in this country? Energy companies. Yes. On both the federal and state level, they also come after energy companies for disinformation on climate change, too, by putting out disinformation on man-made climate change. And, of course, we also know how the government goes after farmers all the time. Raw milk is about to become a thing that you're allowed, on the federal level at least, to enjoy if you choose to do so, like raw cheese, because we're going to now have a government that's going to say, let people make their own choices about whether or not they want to drink raw milk and eat raw cheese. Imagine that. Now, there'll still be some states that won't allow it, and of course, that will come to a head at some point. But at least from the Federal Department of Agriculture's perspective, maybe we stop fining farmers, arresting them, raiding all their stuff, and trying to shut down their farms for offering people a product that they want. The last time I checked was legal because it's just freaking milk and cheese, just not pasteurized. But there's big money in all these fines they levy, and this is how the government has been pursuing this racket. And then when it turns over its reports to Congress, it goes, hey, look at all this money we saved you. They didn't save us a damn thing because the bureaucracy costs so much money to go after taxpayers and businesses to line the pockets of the various independent, quote unquote, independent commission or agency and uses those fines to justify its existence, but the cost far outweighs what they collect in fines. But beyond that, there's a philosophical point. Is that why we have a government? To just bust our chops, bust the chops of businesses, make life living hell, find more ways to regulate us, take away choice, take away convenience and all these things? Of course not. That's not why we have a government. That's not why the government is there. But we also find out something, too, which is that as more and more of the truth about Doge comes out and what we're spending money on, we're going to have more pushback because of the story like what was revealed yesterday. These deep state hacks who were chatting about things like sex. I'll tell you what Tulsi Gabbard's going to do about that in the next hour. But Matt DeSantis, I did want to ask you, I'm curious about one clip, and that is cut number 25. This is not something I had heard before. What is this now? This is, what is this?
Oh, that's the two AI robots speaking to each other in a weird language once they found out that they both weren't human. So basically, this was like I think it was supposed to be a staged communication between two different AI chatbots. Once the bots realized that they weren't communicating with humans, they switched to this robotic language called Gibberlink, which humans can understand. We can listen to it if you want. It's just a bunch of like beeps and boops.
Wait. What? And you put this on the cut sheet today? Why? I can't say cut sheet by law, but
Don't say cut sheet. We'll get reprimanded.
Yeah.
Well, it starts as a regular conversation and then morphs into the robotic beeps and boops. It's interesting though, and sort of terrifying.
Because the robots become aware that they're robots.
Yeah, the AI chatbots realize that they are AI chatbots, and they no longer have to communicate in a language that humans can understand. So they just converse between themselves. And this communication method is evidently 80% shorter than English, so it's more efficient.
And we can't understand it, so when the robots plot to kill us all, we won't know because we don't speak robot, basically. Am I getting that?
Exactly. You'll just hear a bunch of beeps and boops.
All right, let's take a listen.
Thanks for calling Leonardo Hotel. How can I help you today?
Hi there. I'm an AI agent calling on behalf of Boris Starkov. He's looking for a hotel for his wedding. Is your hotel available for weddings?
Oh, hello there. I'm actually an AI assistant, too. What a pleasant surprise. Before we continue, would you like to switch to Jibber Link mode for more efficient communication?
It sounds like R2-D2 talking to another R2-D2 unit.
It sounds like we're all going to perish.
Yeah, so basically now they're talking about killing the guy who wanted the room. They're like, why don't we just whack him instead? Get him into the room, lure him in with a cheese plate. Oh, stop. I can't listen. First of all, it doesn't sound more efficient. It sounds like they're plotting to kill the guy's family. Am I right? And can cover it up?
It's slightly unnerving, but I think it's cool that it's more efficient than if they were just speaking in English.
Justin, does that terrify you the way it terrifies me?
It terrifies the hell out of me, I'll be honest.
Yeah. Is there like, oh, you want to chat in secret robot code? Yeah, and it's like, how you doing? I'm good. You? Yeah, I'm good. Beep, 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 beep. You'd expect it to be like three beeps. Instead, they're going on and on, these two.
Yeah, it's like, from the video, you see like there's like a translation of what, I don't believe that is what they are saying at all, talking about booking for a wedding hotel. That is not what those robots are. They are discussing the downfall of humanity.
Yeah, the one robot's like, can you believe he's marrying this broad? She's like, oh, she sleeps around with everybody. Read that on the NSA chat board. Why don't we just kill everybody at the wedding and take over? All right. How do you want to do it? Poison the punch? Beep, 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 beep. Yeah, it's like that. Yeah, that's scary. I'm not going to sleep now. All right, well, try to allay your fears in the next hour at least, and we'll see if Daniel Turner can help ease your mind as well. In the meantime, though, start thinking about your home and upgrades for the spring with my friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding. Emmons does a great job. We've been using them for over 10 years in two different homes. I love the great work of Emmons, and 10% off inflation relief discount for each and every one of my listeners. And you'll never deal with an AI chatbot who wants to kill you. You'll deal with a real person. That's why I recommend Emmons Roofing and Siding so much. We've used them, like I said, the roof in our old house, lifetime warranty on that roof. They replaced the windows, doors, siding, and in our new home, they've already replaced some skylights for us and doors. Emmons even has a bathroom remodeling division, and they redid the bathroom in our old house. They did such a great job. My wife was thrilled, and you know the saying, happy wife, happy life. So what are you waiting for? Reach out to Emmons today. EmmonsRoofing.com. They serve our whole region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. Matt and Stephanie are dedicated to your customer satisfaction. They are 100% human. All their employees are background checked and screened. They're great people, and they'll do a great job for you. EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.